Welcome. The only notice I have really is that, as you probably can see, we're going to have communion today. Normally it's on the second week, but as you know, I was not here. But it's good to be back. It's good to have Jerry with us. Welcome, dear. Good to have you. Welcome. And I'm going to hand over to Richard to lead us. Thank you, Richard.
Right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to be back. I had a lovely time. Chilling out, really. But I was thinking of you, on Sundays especially. So we're going to start, and this is a request from Rita, and she actually came for her request today, so that's brilliant. Last time she missed out. I said to her, no skiving today, so thankfully she's here. So we're going to start off with God sent his son because he lives.
I can't stand too long.
I can sing better standing.
God sent his son. And then
And now, let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most wonderful God, we come this morning to worship you. We come to say that we love you. We come to ask for your forgiveness. You are a forgiving God. You are a loving God. And you are a comforting God. And we thank you for all that you are and for all that you do. We pray for the world in which we live. We pray for all in authority. Lord, they desperately need your guidance. Help them, Lord, that they might lead their countries into a world of peace and harmony. May there be unity, Lord, throughout the world. May there be an end to war and to acts of violence. May we all live together in peace. We pray, Lord, for the people in Ukraine. Oh, Lord, how we pray that they may see peace in our time. And, Lord, for those that have already had to leave the country and are refugees living elsewhere, Lord, we pray that you would be their comfort and their guide. And we thank you for the many people, for the many countries, for the many homes that have been open to these refugees. And Lord, we pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for all in authority under her. And we ask, Lord, that again you'd give to them wisdom. Keep them strong, Lord. Help them in the decisions that they have to make. Lord, they need your guidance. They need your wisdom. And so, Lord, be with them and help them in all that they undertake. And Lord, we thank you for all people who are working to help people in need. We think of the NHS. We think of the police force. We think, Lord, of the fire service. We think of our hospitals, for our clinics, for all those people who are working to help people in need. Lord, for those who are sick, we pray for healing. For those that are lonely, we pray for companionship. For those, Lord, who feel completely unwanted, Lord, may they know peace and harmony in their lives. May they know not only your companionship, but may they know the companionship of other people living near them. And Lord, we thank you for the many, many volunteers who are out in our country working for the good of others. Lord, how we praise you for them. We thank you for their strength. We thank you for their willingness. And we pray that you would undertake for them. We pray, Lord, for the sick. We pray for the dying. We pray for those who've recently been bereaved. Lord, we know it's not easy, but we pray that you would be with them. And Lord, we pray for our own families. We pray for our own friends. We pray for people who we know have special needs. Lord, be with them. And help us, Lord, that we might be faithful to you, that we might be willing to serve you in this world. So, Lord, would you equip and empower us? Would you help us? Would you give us all that we need to be willing helpers in a world of need? Lord, we bring our prayers to you on behalf of the world we live in, on behalf of our own country, behalf of our own community, on behalf of our own families, and behalf of ourselves. Lord, may we know your peace, that peace that passes all understanding. And may we rejoice in your presence daily in our lives. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we bring our prayers this morning. Amen. Now we're going to sing our second song. All my days I will sing this song of gladness.
With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have had him justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his love? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
So we're going to continue our worship with them. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. He lives.
Your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to God.
I felt led to share with you this morning. From the reading that Brian shared with us from Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now these verses speak of the blessing of what's called justification. But first, let us remind ourselves of what justification is. It is an act. It's not a process, no, it's an act. There are no degrees of justification. Each one of us has the same standing before God. No one is more important than anyone else. We have the same standing before God. Justification is something God does, not man. God does it. We cannot justify ourselves before God. It does not mean that God makes us righteous, but it means that he declares us righteous. God puts the righteousness, if you like, of Jesus on our record in the place of our own sinfulness, and nobody can change that record. It is not sanctification. That is the process whereby God makes us more like Christ. It may change from day to day, but justification never changes. And this is the way you perhaps can understand it. Justification, it's just as if I never sinned. Justification, it's just as if I never sinned. In other words, the forgiveness that we get of God is wonderful. It is complete. Thank God for justification. So then, what are the blessings of justification? There are seven that I want to share with you. They are, one, peace with God. I say that because Romans 5 verse 1 deals with the past. We get, with forgiveness, peace with God. Number two, we get access to God. You see, verse 2 tells us that God deals with the present. And so we can have direct access with God because he is there for us. He loves us and he forgives us. From verse 2 again, he doesn't only deal with the present, he deals with the future. In other words, we don't only have access to God, but we have a glorious hope. We have hope for the future because, as you'll see in a moment or two, he deals completely with our sin. Number four, we have the blessing of a Christian character. Yes, there's still going to be trials, there's still going to be troubles, but God promises that nothing will separate us from him. If we come to him and seek his forgiveness, nothing will ever separate us from him again. Number five, we have God's love within. What do we mean? Well, God gives to us the Spirit, and the Spirit loves us even more. Number six, we have salvation from future wrath. Verses 9 and 10 show that He, the Lord Jesus, is praying for us. And He said, didn't He, before He left this world, before He ended His earthly ministry, Jesus said that He would pray for us. And seven, the last one, we have reconciliation with God. What does that mean? Well, it means that the barrier is gone. Sin cannot separate us from God. We, if we believe in Jesus, are forgiven, we are justified, and we are declared righteous in God's sight. But there are three important points that I want to share with you re-forgiveness. The first one, number one, forgiveness is promised. If we truly repent, forgiveness is promised. Jeremiah verse 30, chapter 31, part of verse 34. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And Isaiah 53, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, Jesus' wounds, we are healed. You see, friends, when we know the Lord, we receive forgiveness of our sins. We know Him as the God of grace who remembers not our sins. So forgiveness is promise, but repentance is required. And then number two, forgiveness is not only promised, but it's provided. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. God showed His love for us when He sent His only Son in the world to give us life. Real love is our love for God. No, it's not. Real love is not our love for God, but it's His love for us. God sent His Son to be the sacrifice by which our sins are forgiven. John 1 verse 12. To all who did accept Him and believe in Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. In other words, you have to come and accept God and believe in Him. And when we do that, yes, we become children of God, and forgiveness is automatically provided for us. Acts 3 verse 19. Turn to God, give up your sins, and you will be forgiven. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Jesus is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. So, forgiveness is promised, forgiveness is provided, and the third and the last one, forgiveness is personal. It is personal. Our forgiveness, in other words, is a personal gift from God to us as individuals. You see, Jesus died for each of us. He died for that. And wants all of us to become his children. He knows us. He didn't only die for us, but he knows our name, and I shudder at this one sometimes. He knows our past. He knows what we've done in the past. And I can remember that I rarely didn't do the best of the opportunities I was given. But you see, not only does he know us, not only does he know our name and our past, but he longs for a personal relationship with us. My friends, God's forgiveness is personal and it's final. Now today is Father's Day, isn't it? Yes. And we give little gifts to our fathers, and we've got some very small gifts for the men that are here today, like we did for the ladies on Mothering Sunday. But let us stop for a minute. God the Father, there is no Father like God our Father. He is a Father that loves us with all that he can. He loves every one of us. He wants a personal relationship with us. Many, many, many years ago, I was concerned for the youngsters, the boys that were too young to join the Cubs or the Life Boys. And so I wrote to the leaders of the churches and said, please, can you do something for the younger ones? For they are just as important as those who've come to the age of 9. And the Archbishop of Canterbury wrote back, I agree with you. It's great. Will you get on with it? Oh, I was distraught. I was working in an office in Cannon Street in London. And I found my way to St. Paul's Cathedral. I entered the little prayer chapel, and that's not like me. I don't like being quiet and so on, or at least I didn't in those days. And I knelt down, and before I left that chapel, I felt God saying to me, go and do it. He had a personal task for me. He had a personal future for young boys. And the amazing thing is, we went on for 21 years, and at the end of it, both of those organisations opened their doors to youngsters from 5. And so our work was done. The Scouts had the Beavers, and the Boys Brigade had the Anchor Boys. But you know, God had planned that. I was his personal instrument. I didn't deserve it. But you see, God had forgiven me for a terrible past. I took the mickey out of the church. And yet, when I came to God and sought his forgiveness, not only did I have personal forgiveness, but I had personal direction for my future life. God is good, and his forgiveness is promised, provided, and personal. Thanks be to God. Amen. Over to Richard.
Well, on Father's Day, Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do.
Way that I feel.
And now we come to the table of the Lord. It was Jesus who, when he was with his disciples, before he was crucified, he took bread and wine, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that is why the church today, the church worldwide, celebrates his death by having a service, call it communion, call it the Lord's Supper, whatever we may. But we continue to remember our Lord and all that he did. So first of all, I want to share with you some words of invitation. Come because Jesus loves us and he died for us on the cross. Come and meet the risen Lord Jesus. For not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Come and bring our concerns and our problems to him and believe that he will deal with them for us. Come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. Come with thankful hearts. Come in humility and go in confidence because Jesus is Lord. We're going to eat the bread as it is served. We remember that Jesus said that we should take the bread in remembrance of all that he did. And we should be truly thankful. The bread represents the body of Jesus that was given so freely for us. We know that Jesus also took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whatever you do, drink it whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." That was the words of Jesus himself. And we are going to take the cup, but we're going to hold it until we've all been served, so that then we can drink together. And I'll give you that guide. Jesus shed his blood for us. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Let us pray. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we have tasted new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be gospel people, sharing the good news of Jesus with others. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Before we sing our last song, we will collect the cups. Now over to Richard.
Well, we're going to end with two songs together, with Majesty and followed by Amazing Grace.
Worship His Majesty.
got some books which you can offer to people out there if you have the courage to go and ask them if they'd like. First of all, we'll stand and say the grace together. Join hands. The grace of our
Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.